Amen. And it's good to be in the Lord's house today and allow that music to be able to worship and touch our hearts and prepare our hearts. I tell you what, this is really, really good music here. I can't imagine when you get to heaven and what heaven's going to be like. And music's going to be a major part of the heavenly chorus when you and I get to heaven. But I sure love Ron and praise team and workers and all the hard work they put in week after week and what they do here for the cause of Christ. And not only that, their heart for the Lord in doing that as they serve Him. Let's take our Bibles today in John chapter 1 today. We're going to read some scripture. You know, whisper Jesus. I sit there and think about, you know, what, and Ron and I don't necessarily tell him what I'm preaching on unless he asks me. He doesn't necessarily tell me what he's doing in music unless I ask him. But I always am amazed when you get here and how the Holy Spirit kind of brings all that together through the message and through the music and through the song. And so today, again, God does His handiwork. And so John chapter 1, we're going to take a text of Scripture here that focuses really in John chapter 1 on John the Baptist in the Bible. We know is the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that the Bible says went preparing the way and announcing to the crowd that there's a Messiah coming, there's a Savior coming, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And he was the announcer and declaring of that truth. And so we see a lot of what's going on in John chapter 1 on the John the Baptist and being the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to focus on this part of the text when you get to verse 35 to verse 42. And when Jesus launches into his what is known in the Bible as his public ministry. And up until this time, up until about verse 35, Jesus' ministry has been private, has been behind the scenes. And we know that in the Bible, from the time of his birth, his famous virgin birth and declaring the virgin birth of Christ, up until about his age 12, we know a little bit about him. As he grew up in Nazareth, as he began to learn his father's trade as a carpenter, as he did some things as in those early years. But then it seems like at about age 12, the Bible kind of goes silent, and we don't hear much about the Lord Jesus Christ until about age 30. Then all of a sudden, around age 30, he begins to come public and announces to the world his public ministry. And that's what we see launching right here in verse 35, is when Jesus, the Son of God, the virgin born, incarnate, Son of God, now announces to the world and begins to do his public ministry, the miracles and all the things that begin to take place, we see begin to launch here in verse 35. So this is the launching of his public ministry. Verse 35 says, and again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. Then one of the two which heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, which would be Peter, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And so when you look here in this text, is the beginning of the launching. There's a lot of things going on here in this text. But when you see the launching of the public ministry, I got to ask myself the question is, how does God make a disciple? How does God? So I titled the message today simply this, is how does God make a disciple? And we know a disciple is simply a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in other words, does a person who becomes a Christian, if you and I become a Christian and you're here today and you're saved and you're born again by the blood of Christ, do we automatically become a disciple of Christ? As we said, disciple means follower of Jesus Christ. He said, here, follow me. And these men went after Jesus to examine him more closely because really they came to see because of John the Baptist and his ministry and what he was proclaiming. And they came to really see for themselves if this is the Messiah. They eventually dedicated their lives to Christ as the true disciples, but we know that John the Baptist, really from this text on now, begins to fade in the background, and now it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, as it should be. That's exactly as it should be, because John the Baptist, up until this point, had been really, many of them thought that John the Baptist was the Christ, was the Messiah, was the announcer, was the proclaimer, was the good news. He was not. He was just setting the way, paving the way, announcing the good news, preaching repentance and baptism. So as he carried out this message, we find John the Baptist now, from this text on, begins to fade in the background a little bit, and Jesus becomes really the central focal point that launches the public ministry. So when you read about discipleship, you come across this Bible character here we find in the Bible called Peter. I really don't think you're going to get a good understanding of discipleship in the Bible until you look at Peter's life and understand a little bit about him. Quite an interesting Bible study on Peter's life. And so we can see through Peter's life this progression that took place to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Discipleship is really that, exactly that. It's a progression in a person's life. And that's what I want to kind of point out with us today. Peter here is presented as a model disciple. He's presented as an example in the Scripture, one that really you and I could identify with in a lot of ways. He was here, and from the standpoint, as Peter was, he come, and among the disciples, he was one of the prominent apostles. He's always, many times, when they list the apostles and list the disciples, he's usually listed first on many of the occasions in the Bible. And so he becomes a role model. He was prominent. He is always listed first and usually was the spokesman of the group. And by that, he always represented the consensus of the group's opinion about Jesus and the teachings of Christ. And so when you find here, Peter was one of really the inner three. There was really three disciples, followers, apostles that were closer probably than many of the others. And that's Peter and James and John. Those three were really the three inner on the inner circle with Christ. And so we find Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel gives you and I the best picture, really what portrays here in the Scripture about Peter. Peter was really a typical individual from the standpoint that we'd find a lot in common with this man and really about his characteristics. He was an ordinary believer. And if you look at Peter's life kind of went, you know, he had highs and had lows. You know, very rarely you find somebody live on the mountaintop or somebody lives in the valley all the time. Peter was up and Peter was down. Peter was on, Peter was off. But he was a disciple. As a disciple, Peter was called then to be a fisher of men, and the Bible says, and is very clear about that. And then we find that he and Andrew began to set the example. For example, if you go back to John chapter 1, look at it in verse 16, John chapter 1, verse 16, 17, 18. And of the fullness have all we received grace for grace, and for the law was given by Moses. And but by grace and truth came Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, and he hath declared him. So we find they left everything, and they began to follow. The Bible's clear when you get over to John chapter 10 and verse 28. Literally everything they did. By trade he was a fisherman. And so we find that Jesus come along and called him not only to salvation, but then called him to be a disciple and to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I thought everybody that was saved is a follower of Christ. Well, you can really see in Peter's life a progression of steps, of things that Peter did that made him not only to be saved and caused him to be saved, but then to be a disciple, to be a follower. I really believe you can almost be saved, know you're on your way to heaven, and really not be a true disciple, a true follower of Jesus Christ. I think there's really, it distinguishes in the Bible a difference. And here the Bible says we see that Peter, though, left everything and began to follow the Lord. His initial faith and recognition of Jesus as Savior came in John chapter 1 there. And if you look at it in John 1, verse 40, 41, 42. And of the two which heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon. So there was something special about Simon, something special about Peter. And the son of Jonah, that thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So Peter's experiences following Christ here takes the believer through, it takes you and I through a lot of experiences in his life about the failures, the ups, and the downs as he followed the Lord and he became this disciple of Christ. And we see in his life the nature of discipleship, when it begins, how it develops, and then the end at the time in which it was directed. So let's take step number one. Here's step number one in the life of Peter, in the life of how, when you think about it, of how does God... You know, you and I don't make disciples. Well, we are given a, if you think about it, the Great Commission. And I do want to take you to that text. If you're not familiar with it, it's in Matthew 28. And the scripture simply says there that you and I are to go forward, forth and to preach the gospel. Go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we are commanded, Matthew's gospel, Mark's gospel, to go forward and preach the gospel and to make disciples. But it's really God that makes the disciple. So here's step number one with Peter, and Peter was really what I would call a progressing disciple. And this is how you think about it, and keep in mind this, as disciples are not, you're not born with this. You're made into the image and the likeness of Christ and to be a disciple. And the first step in this progressing area of discipleship is salvation's got to come first. Peter first encountered the Lord Jesus in John chapter 1 and first came to Christ. And we find here, the Bible's clear, that Andrew, and I find it interesting, that Andrew knew the Lord and looked for this Messiah and then loved the Lord Jesus Christ so much that he went and found his brother. A good example in the Bible, one thing you and I should do and willingly do, want to do immediately upon being saved, upon coming to Christ, is think about your relatives that are around you. Who do you have in your family that is not saved, does not know Christ, has not yet been reborn again, has not heard the gospel story, and understands what it means to be saved? That's step number one we see in here. And Andrew went after his own brother here and Peter and began to seek him out. So the first step is always a call to salvation. Is always a call to salvation in this progressing of discipleship. It's always, there are no conditions or commitment required. And by that, this encounter of Peter here, as Jesus happened to be early in his public ministry, he comes and Andrew comes and then seeks out Peter. So number one, he comes to Christ. Step number one is you got to be saved. Step number one is you got to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. You can't be a disciple unless you go through the doorway of salvation. And then if you find that, look over in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 4, because I think the second thing that we got to take a look at is salvation always comes first, but the second thing, then comes the commitment. You say, well, I thought everybody that's saved is committed. I don't know. I've lived in Christianity long enough to know that a lot of people will come and they'll get saved and repent of their sin and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and trust Him for heaven and eternal life. But not everyone then will take the next step of commitment of being a true disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, totally sold out. But if we find here in Matthew chapter 4, notice down in verse 18, and here comes the commitment for Peter and Jesus in verse 18, Matthew 4. Walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon. Notice two brethren. And so they're evidently saved, they know the Lord, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother. So here they are, Christians, brothers in Christ, carrying out their trade, fishermen by trade, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, now here's the call to discipleship, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Here comes the call to discipleship. The Bible says in verse 20, and they straightway left their nets, and followed him. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 21, and going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, two others that are saved, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Again, a call to obedience, a call to discipleship, a call to being obedient. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So you really have a call to salvation, but you also have a call to discipleship. And by that meaning, we find here Peter's given this call. Jesus is calling Peter and the others here to further their commitment in Christ. I thank God for everyone that is saved. I thank God for everyone that has made that move, that decision, to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But that just sets the stage. That just opens the door for the next opportunity for you then to follow the Lord in discipleship and obedience discipleship and to really be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a commitment. That is an act here. And Jesus here is calling Peter and the others to further that commitment. Are you really going to be genuine in your following him? And it requires obedience and it requires submission of what we see here in this text. And that is absolutely the difference. And we find here it's absolutely important in discipleship is we must obey and we must submit. Now, the hard part oftentimes becomes the submission because a lot of times, even though we've gotten saved, come to know the Lord, we know heaven is our home, we've not yet really fully submitted and given up our will and said, God, whatever you want. I don't know about you. For me, the call to discipleship or the clear message of discipleship didn't come until 3 years after my salvation. I was saved at age 16 at a church just like this, heard the gospel, understood it, realized I was lost and needed to be saved, and I come forward and the youth pastor led me to Christ, and I was saved and regenerated by the power of God. I was a junior in high school when I got saved. I thought I was a follower of Jesus Christ. I did. I read my Bible. I went to church and that, but there became a day in my life where God clearly, distinctly said to me, I want everything you got. I want you to totally submit to me, your will, your life, everything, give it all to me. You say, well, what does that mean then? Is that a call to ministry? No, I think it's a call to discipleship. It's a call to God, whatever you want, I'll do whatever you want. I'll surrender all. But this I do know, wherever I go and whatever the career path is and whatever choices I make along the way, I determine from this point forward, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, 100% committed, God, whatever you want. I think it's a distinct difference between salvation and discipleship. And so when you look at it here, now I didn't know what that meant. I was 19 years old. I had no idea what that meant. I went back home to my home church because I was at a revival meeting at another church. I went back and got to my youth pastor and I said, what does that mean? He said, I don't know what that means. The only thing I know is put yourself on a path for God to do whatever it is that God wants to do. See, sometimes I think so oftentimes we'll get saved and we'll come to know the Lord and we'll trust God as our Savior and we'll trust Him for eternal life. But when He speaks to our heart about submission and give me everything you have, whoa. I mean, that's a little different. I mean, everything? That means everything. All your will, all your desires, all your ambitions, all your dreams, all your goals. Put me first in everything. Submission. So when you look at it here, we find the second thing is I think it come in Peter's life, a definite, not only was it a step to salvation, but it was a step to commitment, to commit to discipleship. And then it came over, if you will, turn over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Let me show this to you. There becomes a time in every one of our lives that you and I are going to have to decide if we're going to obey God in whatever He's talking to us about. Well, that also time we find in Peter's life, and you find here in Luke's Gospel in chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says here, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon to hear the word of God, that Peter here, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret here and saw two ships standing by the lake, and but the fishermen were going out of them, and they were washing their nets, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. This is Peter now. And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And now when he had left speaking, he said to Peter, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, now, you know, this is interesting. This is kind of like, you're talking to the God in the flesh. You're talking to Jesus Christ. And now we find Peter here, notice his answer, Master or teacher, we've toiled all night. And we've taken nothing. And nevertheless, he says here, at thy word, I'll let down the nets. Kind of like he's saying here, you know, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, but I just want you to know, we've fished all night and we've been in these waters, there's nothing out there. But because you're the master and in my discipleship, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you. And he says here, nevertheless, at thy word, God, he says, I really don't believe this, but at thy word, I'm going to let down the net. And then when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help him. And they came and filled both the ships, so that day that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. It's like he realized he had a little bit of lack of faith here. Yes, he was already saved. He was not yet really a truly committed disciple or follower of Christ. He says here, Peter recognized himself as being, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And for he was astonished, and all that were with him, and all the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto him, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Fishing days were over. No more fishing, no more casting out the nets, no more lack of faith, no more doubt or unbelief. God, you convinced me. I'm all in. I'm going to follow you. And Jesus tells him right here, from this day forth, just like you went and cast out your nets and caught all these fish, now you're going to go fishing for men. And our churches today in church work, we would call it soul winning. We would call it witnessing or getting the gospel out or winning others to Christ. You know, if you never think about it, you probably never will win somebody to Christ. You got to realize that soul winning and discipleship and fishing for men comes after the commitment to discipleship. I really believe that you can be saved. I believe there's going to probably be many people in heaven that are saved and they know Christ and they have eternal life. No doubt about their salvation. And they'll go to heaven never winning another person to Christ. Never once casting your net out and trying to reap and pull it in and winning a relative to Christ or a loved one to Christ or a neighbor to Christ or somebody that you work with to Christ. It takes a commitment here. Peter had a clear call, a distinct call of discipleship, and he now was going to fish for men. And so, you know, it's interesting here that after an unfruitful night of fishing, Jesus finds Peter washing his nets and then tells him to launch the boat out and let down the nets. And he objects, but he obeys, and then he catches this great large catch of fish. So the result here is, you know what you see in Scripture here? A broken spirit by Peter. And so now he learns to obey the Lord. And so what you find here in chapter 5 is now, from now on, he said, I'm going to teach you not only to fish, but I'm going to teach you now how to fish for men. And so they forsook all and began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're not fishing, you're not following. And when you think about it, to be a disciple, one's got to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And to follow Jesus Christ requires that one be a fisher of men. And if you're not fishing, you're not following. The call of discipleship is always a call to evangelism. A call to discipleship is always a call to evangelism. To be thinking about that person you run into, the next person you meet, the next opportunity you have, to be fishing for men and to be able to get the gospel and to ask the question, I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they know Christ. I wonder if I can say a kind word to them that'll point them to Christ and come to the Savior. I wonder if I can give them a tract. I wonder if I can invite them to church. Peter here, he was made a fisher of men. Notice the next thing about Peter here is the following that came. And turn to Matthew chapter 16, the following that comes in Peter's life through sacrifice. And by that, now that Peter had learned his first lesson, Peter learned his first lesson in submission and a lesson in obedience, Jesus now advances him in his school of discipleship. Remember I said discipleship is progression. Well, here's Peter. He had gotten saved, and he had been tested on submission, and then he had been tested on obedience, and now he's convinced. Well, now the stakes get raised a little bit higher. Because now in Matthew and chapter 16, we find here that now Peter has learned just some lessons. Jesus advances him onto the next level, a lesson that really what it means to be a disciple. Count the cost on continuing on in discipleship. In Matthew 16, you notice down there in verse 30, and when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, that he asked his disciples here, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias, which would be Elijah in the Old Testament. Others Jeremias or Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered. Oh, here's Peter again. Remember I said he's the leader of the group, usually the outspoken one, the one that speaks first. Where he goes, he says, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ. No hesitation, no doubt. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter had been convinced through his salvation experience, been convinced by surrendering and submitting himself, and been surrendering himself in obedience. And then Jesus said to him in verse 17, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says in verse 19, And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Here's what it was. His following, it brings about sacrifice. Peter's now getting to learn what it means to be able to follow in discipleship, and a little bit in the growth process comes a day and a time of sacrifice in Peter's life. And not only that, you know, you can even know that from time to time, Peter's not perfect, and we see that over in John. Look at it in John chapter 13. Even as a disciple, even as a follower of Christ, sometimes you get tripped up, and sometimes you fail, and sometimes, and here he falters with the Lord. Remember in John chapter 13, and you get down to verse down in verse 36, 37, 38. And then Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow until thou hast denied me thrice. Boy, you see really his enthusiasm here. You see that in his service to here in discipleship later on, here he's so committed. Lord, I'll go. I'll do whatever you want. I'll lay down my life for you. Oh, really? You're willing to do that? No, Peter. Before the cock crow three times, you will deny me. Now, here's the disciple. Here's the follower of Christ. Here's the devoted one. Here's the sold-out one. Here's the submitted one. Here's the obedient one. Comes right down to the death and the death of Christ in there. So what does he do? I don't know that man. He denied him three times and then realized what he had done when the cock crew. And here. And so we find that after this here, we find that failure comes and also times and falters in the Lord. And we find here Jesus foretells of Peter's denial and the fulfillment of that prediction actually comes true. Because you flip over to John chapter 18 there, and you look at it in verse 15. John 18, and you get down to verse 15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus. Now remember, he's a committed disciple, a disciple of Christ. And so did another disciple, and that disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. And then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And he saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood at fire with them and warmed himself. And the high priest then asked Jesus' disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus said, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, and whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? And ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And so when you read this text, you go on down, verse 22, and when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which had stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, then smitest thou me. Why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him and bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. He's sitting here warming himself in the fire, watching all this go on. And they said therefore unto him, Art thou not also one of the disciples? And he denied it and said, I am not. This is denying Christ. After you've been saved, after you've been born again, after you've submitted, after you've been obedient, I don't know the man. Then one of his servants of the high priest, being a kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" And then Peter denied again, and immediately the cock crew. So even in the best of the best, even in discipleship, there will become times of difficulty and challenges along the way. And sometimes people might trip and take a stumble and take a fall or whatever. You got to get back up. And Peter here recognizing what he did and realized, and then the cock crow. And we find here that in this, we find that the last part of this in John 21, look at it in John 21 here. This is the last stage of the progression in Peter's discipleship. So we see him progressing all along the way in these steps. And you get down to John 21 and look at it in verse 1 and verse 2. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on the wise showed himself. And there were gathered together, there's Peter again, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and sons of Zebedee and the two other of his disciples. So even in discipleship, this is the last stage of the progression in Peter's discipleship, and it occurs after the resurrection when Jesus appears to Peter and these other disciples here in Galilee. And so Peter is resigned to do God's will to the fullest degree, forsaking all self-reliance. And so Peter here does serve, and Peter continues to serve. As a matter of fact, when you get over to Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, God used Peter to be able to preach on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 souls were saved and added to the church. So think about it. Simply this today in the message is disciples are made, not born. You're not born to be a disciple. You're made to be a disciple. And there's stages of that discipleship. It starts with salvation in Christ. So I ask you, my friend today, do you know him? Are you saved? Do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you have the promise of eternal life? If you say, I do have that. But then what about next? If God is laying on your heart and calls you to follow him and to be closer and to pick up that mantle and follow him in discipleship and surrender all to him, the call to follow persists throughout the life of a disciple and being fully surrendered. In Peter's life, we see it's kind of like, you know, I don't know. I always kind of pictured it as a funnel effect. You know, up here, you got the funnel. It's got a wider opening. And then in Christianity, when you get saved and you come to know Christ and you come and the funnel gets down and down and narrow and narrow and narrow, and we see all these life experiences by Peter and Peter's life. He just didn't go all the way from salvation to the 2 weeks later to being the perfect Christian and have the perfect follower and the perfect disciple. It takes time. It takes a lifetime of commitment and fellowship. And I pray that many of you that have been in Christ a long time and have been saved in Christ a long time and you have been committed and you've submitted and you've surrendered to him, it's a call to discipleship. And the funnel gets narrower and narrower as you get down to the end of the life. And here we find Peter, the progression calls to follow begins first with a general direction and a general commitment. And then comes more and more specific in what that commitment entails. And each time the disciple is called to follow, a new significance then is attached to that. And with each call, the disciple is challenged to a deeper commitment and a greater sacrifice. You know what I like? I like Dr. Falwell that used to talk about this, and I knew him when he was alive, and he always talked about this thing of being champions for Christ. God will take and call some to ministry full time, but God's called you to whatever he's called you to. And so be a disciple, be a follower wherever it is and wherever your career path goes and whatever opportunities have. And not all of us are going to work at Ford Motor Company. Not all of us are going to work at General Motors. Not all of us are going to be a plumber or electrician or carpenter. Not all of us are going to be pastors or evangelists or missionaries. So as we take these different career paths, one thing we can be consistent on, though, is I know that I'm saved and I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And I submit and surrender and obedient to God to what you want to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. Be committed. And be committed to that. And you will have the opportunity in your lifetime to be a fisher of men, to reach people in your life and your surroundings and your contacts that none of the rest of us will ever be able to reach. Be a fisher of men and women to be able to reach out and to reach those people for the cause of Christ. Discipleship is a direction. It's an orientation. It's a commitment. Anywhere on one's life journey, you can be called to be a disciple. Even in the midst of temporary failure, Peter had some failure. He got back on board and submitted himself in obedience. And so if you think about it, disciples are made, they're not born. It's a work of grace, and those who are saved by grace, we're motivated to cooperate with God and commit and submit ourselves to his purpose, conforming us to his Son, our Lord and Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. So my friend, today the call is always the call to salvation. God desires that none of us perish and spend eternity in a place called hell. And if you're here and you're not saved, we invite you to come and trust Christ as your Savior today. But friend, there's also a call to discipleship, a call to commitment, a call to submission, a call to surrender and say, you know what? I want more than my salvation. I want to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. I want him to have everything of me. God, whatever you want, head to toe everything. You direct my thoughts, my heart, and let me be a fisher of men in the career path that you've put me on to reach men and women and children for the cause of Christ. Let's pray.